From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Imagine putting your bright, athletic, well-adjusted kid to bed one night and having him wake up as someone almost unrecognizable. Neil Swidey is a staff writer for the Boston Globe magazine, and that's precisely what happened to his nephew. Getting the right diagnosis for this sudden behavioral change led Swidey to discover a roiling disagreement between medical professionals over the diagnosis and treatment of a baffling condition. While you've likely heard similar controversy over chronic Lyme disease, for example, you probably haven't heard about PANDAS. Nothing cute about this PANDAS. It stands for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorders Associated with Streptococcal Infections. Neil Swidey is on the line to tell us more about the medical controversies surrounding PANDAS and the families who are suffering as a result. Neil, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Great to be here, Virginia. Thanks.
So what happened to your nephew? What was so different about his behavior from one day to the next?
Well, as you suggested in your introduction, it really was an immediate change. This was, in every sense of the word, a normal 8-year-old boy. Overnight, and then in the subsequent days, he became manic, doing laps constantly, sit-ups. Eating became a very difficult, fraught experience. There was fear and kind of rage. Really, it was, as his parents would describe, sort of as though he was trapped in some kind of horror movie. He was kind of aware of what was happening in some way, but fearful around him, and really no one had any answers for just what was happening. There were no sort of early signs, no gradual buildup. Often when children have changed behavior, there's a climb, a steady climb that you see as a parent. You know your kid. And when this happens so dramatically, you know something is wrong in a fundamental way.
Well, it's so horrible to imagine you and your family going through this, because you write about, you know, visiting one doctor after the next, sometimes even getting just a telephone consult, and they said, oh, he has OCD, let's put him on Ativan, you know, a lot of concern about antidepressants for kids. So finally, Dr. Dennis Baboulis, he's an immunologist in Darien, Connecticut, saw him and connected it to this PANDAS hypothesis. Tell us more about what PANDAS is.
Well, PANDAS...
I won't make you go through the acronym.
No, and in fact, there's a new acronym called PANS, which we can talk a little bit about before, about the kind of evolution of this diagnosis. The most important thing to understand is that we're on the frontier here, and that the way the medical establishment, when it knows how to handle things, it's very good. When something is new and something is unsettled, unsettled science makes medicine a very dicey place sometimes, and it can sometimes bring out the worst in the system, certainly, where you have arguments break out that become untethered from the suffering going on with the families in the crisis. And that's kind of what I've seen with this story. Basically, PANDAS was a hypothesis that was started in the early 90s. And for about a decade now, there's been a clear, about a decade ago, there was a clear description of what was happening here. But from that description to actually protocols for diagnosis, it's been a very bumpy ride, kind of fraught with debate. The key thing that I took away from this, and the key thing that the flood of reactions I still get every day from this story appeared a couple of weeks ago in the Boston Globe magazine, and not a day has not gone by where I haven't received multiple emails and notes from families suffering from this. It's that it's something different. It's not what traditional medicine, the kind of the boxes that people want to put it into, and that you have to respect its difference before proceeding in any way that brings healing to the families and especially the children.
Well, I guess what's so scary for people is that it's connected to strep, which every kid gets. You know, everyone has strep throat at some point or some form of the strep infection. So, you know, how scared should we be, Neil?
So I think, you know, that's a perceptive point, because one of the things I didn't realize until going into this research on this was just how prevalent strep is. You think, you know, your kid might get it every couple of years. Well, it turns out most kids get strep every year, you know, grade school kids. Most of the time, or many instances, you don't know that it's strep because it looks like the common cold. You know, about 12% of kids are carriers, meaning they have it sometimes for up to 4 years. Every time they sneeze or cough, the strep is coming out of them onto desks and kids around them, but they're unaffected by it, so they don't know. Strep as the trigger for pandas was the key hallmark of it. That has changed now, and people are understanding that it could be something different from strep. That's how we move from pandas to the acronym PANS, where the key signal right now is the dramatic overnight onset of this, that the child you put to bed is different from the child the next morning that wakes up, and in subsequent days and weeks is, as you said, kind of unrecognizable.
We're speaking with Neil Swiede, staff writer with the Boston Globe magazine, about a rare and unusual reaction to strep. It's called PANDAS, or PANS, as we're hearing. And kids who are afflicted see symptoms of obsessive compulsive disorder more or less overnight. Also, other symptoms that can arise are anorexia nervosa, which I guess your nephew was diagnosed with, Tourette's-like symptoms. But let's get to this is what becomes really difficult, you know, that you have, as you said, an untested, unproven, unstudied case of a medical phenomenon, you know, which is so drastic that people are worried. What is the theory here? The connection between strep just sort of switches something on in the brain? What happens?
So the model they're following is rheumatic heart disease, which comes from a rheumatic fever. And in that case, the bacteria masks itself so that the immune system gets confused. And what it thinks is attacking the strep bacteria is actually attacking, in rheumatic heart disease, the heart valves. And that's what we've known for generations about this. And as rare as rheumatic heart disease is here, another revelation for me was how prevalent it is in the developing world. So they know it. And essentially, in that case, you have to keep kids on penicillin until they get older so that you don't get the strep, so that you don't get the immune system confused. I mean, that's the operating theory that then was applied to this. The difference was, instead of attacking the heart, it attacks the brain. So that's where this came from. And there's a very established medical model for that. What is different in this case is, and where some people say, as you say, the idea is this is OCD. So the kids become obsessive compulsive, dramatically different. That is actually, OCD in children is more prevalent than you might think. It certainly was than I might think.
That was another revelation.
Yeah, 1-3% of kids. That's normal OCD. And that, the key thing of what that is, that comes on gradually. So that is very different from the children that we see in these cases, where you do have this kind of sudden onset.
Okay, so despite the fight, you know, despite the disagreements, let's put it that way, about what is the cause, how about treatment? Any consensus on that?
Well, if you don't have the foundational agreement about what this is, really, it's very hard to get the agreement about treatment for this. So the tragedy of this is that two things happen. One is, some parents of children who have traditional gradual onset OCD, who hear about this, go to their doctors and say, I want my kids on antibiotics. Because antibiotics, like with rheumatic heart disease, is the way initially to treat this. that doesn't do anything for them, and in fact, it gets them off track from a better treatment regimen. The flip side to that is children who sincerely have this different disorder, many doctors treat them as though they're traditional gradual onset OCD, and the treatment for that is antidepressants and cognitive behavior therapy. That doesn't work for children who have this PANDAS or PANS. So what you have to do is understand that difference, and blood tests and throat cultures are the first step when parents have children who express who exhibit these behavior to at least start there.
Well, Neil Swiede, I'm so sorry that we have to wrap up before finding out how your nephew is doing. Can you just give us an up or down vote on that?
He's doing much better now that he's gotten the right kind of treatment.
I'm so glad to hear it. Author and staff writer for the Boston Globe magazine, Neil Swiede. You can read his story about PANDA and PANS at wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks, Neil.
Thanks, Virginia. Take care.